This is the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, the only local sports talk show in the Mid-Willamette Valley. Now, here's Jeff Morgan and Hunter Newton on 1430 KYKN.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. A glorious day in the Mid-Willamette Valley, Salem area, Salem Metro. How many people are in the Metro? Well, it just keeps growing. I think we've got over 500,000 people within our vicinity.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing. It's yesterday afternoon, about 12:45, we had a little incident happen in Salem, which caused a little bit of a traffic headache. If you haven't heard, a train derailed right down the street from us.
Yeah, right by Bark Boys, right off of Cherry Avenue, and it's closed. I actually haven't gone down there to look yet, but I'm going to be a looky-loo.
So my understanding is the train was kind of just, it was slow rolling. It was a long train, and a few cars were just wobbling back and forth, obviously packed a little top heavy, and finally just went over sideways, pulled the next couple of cars off. And from what I've heard, it actually tore up the tracks, where the tracks aren't even in the ground right now.
Unbelievable.
So what they had to kind of do overnight is, I'm sure, bring in a crane to lift some of these things up and get them out of the way. And now it's going to be repairing the train tracks probably before we see any more trains coming this way.
What a disaster. I mean, that's a major thoroughfare. I mean, that's the track that all these trains go to.
Initially,
I guess you can go to the east side.
Well, initially, I think there were three streets shut down, Broadway and Cherry, of course. And then I'm forgetting
Maybe Liberty.
I'm thinking it's the commercial one. Kind of if you go around by...
By the Croc Center.
Yep.
Yeah, whatever that road is.
I'm thinking that probably the other one, because just train cars, and hopefully they're all back reopened and you're able to get around town, especially if you have a nice ride to do it in.
Could you imagine? I mean, people not being able to get home? I mean...
Well, I know that the school for the deaf down there was sent out a notification that anyone picking up their kids in that area needed to approach from the east or the south and not from the north.
Yeah, that's crazy. I completely avoided that whole area yesterday, but thank goodness we were on top of that and letting everybody know. Mm-hmm. So if you want top of the hour news and you want to know what's going on in our community, it's 1430 KYKN.
Well, yeah, we got to stay on top of things.
And by the way, this segment, this is the sports ticket, by the way, in case you didn't know. Mercedes Sprinter Van of Salem. Brian Merrill, Eli down there, they've got a pretty good inventory and can take care of all of your cargo van needs.
Well, my question is this. Did that traffic delay cause people to miss the beginning of the NFL draft yesterday?
Well, it almost caused you to miss the beginning of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was lucky enough that my boss let me get off just early enough to make sure that I was comfortable on my couch to... see that number one overall pick, even though everyone, I think, in America already knew who it was.
Even though you had to come back because your boss apparently left his keys in his truck and was locked inside of the KYKN studios.
Oh.
So it was much appreciated.
Yeah, well, no problem there. If I only had a nice Mercedes Sprinter van to get around, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that may be in the future. We just don't know. So Brian or Eli will definitely take good care of us if we choose to do that, as they would you. So NFL draft, we were just there. Let's go back.
All right.
Number one pick, Fernando Mendoza.
What? Shocker. I think everyone in America knew this was probably the worst kept secret of an NFL draft in decades.
Well, I got to be honest. I mean, his last year at Indiana last year was absolutely epic. I mean, I don't recall any quarterback being that efficient.
Yeah. Well, and everyone knew the Raiders have a huge need at the quarterback position. And I look at this guy in comparison to the last number one overall draft pick quarterback the Raiders selected. And I go, I think the maturity level for Fernando Mendoza is going to be heads and tails amongst the last guy. That was Jamarcus Russell.
No doubt about that. But, you know, he didn't even attend, you know, the NFL draft. He wasn't there physically. He was at his home, which I had a bunch of friends, family around. And I thought that was actually really stinking cool.
Yeah. Well, when you knew what's coming and... You know, he is a humble guy, and that's the thing. He is a family guy. He is a humble guy. The ego isn't there the way we see a lot of potential number one draft pick quarterbacks, where they're telling you that they are the man. I don't think he just lets his actions take control.
Well, you know what? I think people can say that, but I think that he's got a good head on his shoulders, mm-hmm. and he knows that he's still going to have to go in there and perform. And he probably is not going. I mean, I might be wrong, but he's probably not going to start for the Raiders this season.
I think he will. I think
you got Kirk Cousins in there. I mean, he's a veteran, seasoned veteran. You know, Kirk plays good during the regular seasons, and then he gets into the playoffs and he just lays complete eggs.
Well, so
and
that,
I like the
so
guy.
That might be the scenario. Kirk starts the beginning of the year, gets them, you know, 8-9 wins. Then they transition Mendoza in there for any potential playoff run.
Yeah, Fernando, he learns the playbook and, you know, gets that thing dialed in, and then he goes in, you know, yeah. Shoot.
Well, I could definitely see it being similar to the Kirk Cousins in Atlanta scenario, where he's the starter to begin the year, and then they slowly transitioned over to Penix a couple of years ago.
And I think that's probably the ideal situation, because Fernando may actually be ready even before that.
I think so. I think this is it, there's going to be a competition in camp, and if Mendoza shows that he is ready to be the man, he's going to get the nod on day one.
You know, isn't it interesting how a lot of these players now that are getting drafted, you know, high up, you know, in the first round picks have been transfers mm-hmm. from another university to another university and have just done phenomenally well and just raised their draft stock.
Well, I think this is the way you are going to see this play out as the college football landscape is what it is today. Because a guy like Mendoza, who knows he's got the abilities and the skill level and the intelligence to play at that high of a level, is going to bounce around until they find the right program to highlight their skills.
And he's not the only one. Mm-mm. I mean, you can look at, you know, we can talk about the Ducks, but I mean, Bo Nix, for example, mm-hmm. he came in, obviously played 3 years at the University of Oregon, but he wasn't really given a chance and was really in the doghouse at Auburn.
Well,
for 3 years.
Well, and we brought it up. Penix at Washington, he was only there for a couple of mm-hmm. years. And that is going to be the new trend, especially for a quarterback. You are going to see them bounce around a little bit till they find the right scenario at the college level to really showcase them. I think the biggest surprises of the draft were the number 3 pick being Jay Love from Notre Dame, the running back. Simply because it was the Cardinals. The Cardinals were not expected to pick him because they already have a very deep running back room. They have James Conner. They already signed Tyler Algier and Bam Knight still there from last year. I mean, they have 4 guys that got quality NFL reps last year already, and now they've added the top running back in the draft.
Well, apparently they're looking at running the football a lot more this year. And they're anticipating guys just getting into the rotation. And if you've got 4 guys and you can rotate those guys, they're all going to be healthy if you can go get into the playoffs and go deep.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's the other thing is you realize that 2 of these running backs, Algier was backing up at Atlanta last year, but James Conner got hurt last year. So the other 2 guys split the reps the rest of the year. So you have, you know, you're worried about that. Injuries happen in the NFL, especially in a running back room. But to add a 5th NFL level running back into this fold is a little bit of a shocker. So there'll definitely be competition there for the Cardinals.
Unless course, you throw in a trade.
And
they could be doing that.
Well, and that could be the scenario as we move forward. The other big, you know, first time ever, the 2nd running back picked in the draft was also from Notre Dame, going over to the Seahawks. And that was Price, I believe, is the guy's last name.
Yeah, Jadrian Price.
And the story with him and what I saw is this guy, he was kind of 1B in Notre Dame is kind of the way they put it. But he had a big injury a few years ago and has been working his way back, had opportunities to leave Notre Dame and become the man somewhere else, stuck with Notre Dame. And now it's obviously paid off because he's joining the Super Bowl champions.
Well, I think the Super Bowl champions lost their key running back, and so they're obviously in need right now. So we'll see if Price can do that. But those are the only 2 running backs that went in the first round, and both came out of Notre Dame, which we talked about earlier. I think that's the first time this has ever happened.
Oh, yeah. It is the first time that has ever happened where 2 running backs went in the first round from the same team. It's happened in other drafts, but they were a first rounder and like a third rounder or something along those lines. Kind of overall analysis of this year's college draft was there was maybe a dozen guys really at the top of the board that set themselves aside, and a lot of them came from Ohio State.
Oh, yeah.
And then once you got through that first dozen or so guys, the rest of the group was kind of really on par. So there weren't any real big shockers. I think the big shock of the night was how many teams traded up maybe a spot or two in order to make sure they got the guy that filled a need the team felt they had.
You know, Ohio State had four guys picked in the top 11.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's saying something for Ohio State.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the juggernaut, and they always have been. Obviously, Indiana knocked them off and got them out of, and won the national championship last year. I don't think that's going to happen again, to be honest with you. I mean, what do you think about Indiana? I mean, you know, their coach is unbelievable.
Yeah, well, but they lost both Mendozas. I mean, realistically, they lost their starter in Fernando, and they lost his younger brother to the transfer portal. So they do have some rebuilding they're going to need to do.
Yeah, you can't win it every year. And I think Indiana fans, now they've got a taste of a winning season, which they're known for being a basketball university, and now football is on the upper end. But you know, we'll see what happens to them next year. I think they're going to be just fine. But, you know, the second pick, David Bailey out of Texas Tech, the edge defensive player who was an absolute freak last year. I mean, he could get through a line. I don't even know. This guy's unbelievable. And so I think what a great pickup for the New York Jets.
Yeah, well, and the Jets actually had three picks in the first round, including taking a tight end from the Oregon Ducks. But this pick, actually, Bailey's interview or a meeting with the Jets franchise actually got canceled a few days ago. So there became a lot of speculation that they were going to go for Arvell Reese in the number two spot. And a lot of guys looked at him as kind of interchangeable. And of course, Arvell Reese, coming from Ohio State, ended up going to the Giants at number five overall. But yeah, that pick of Bailey, that is going to be a difference maker. And of course it's the Jets. You always kind of got to see how this is all going to play out, because they always have a lot of question marks, even when it seems like they're packed with talent.
Well, you know, they got a great defensive guy, obviously. Then they took number 16, Kenyon Sadiq from Oregon. So they got a great tight end, the guy who can leap over tall defenders in a single bound. And you've also got Omar Cooper Jr. out of Indiana, their wide receiver, who's really, really good. So offensively, you've got two talented individuals, and then defensively, you've got a freak.
Yep. So the biggest two kind of shockers are, one, the first guy that was a non-Power Four conference. Now, this is another trend that I think we are going to start seeing more and more at the college level with the transfer portal. The first non-Power Four conference player picked was San Diego State cornerback Chris Johnson at number 27 overall, going to Miami.
You know, I never got to see San Diego State play once last year.
Well, and that's the thing, is this guy is a major shutdown corner. They're sitting there going, Miami's going to be able to rely on this guy to go one-on-one without having safety help more often than not. He is a stellar defender. But the fact that he never moved on to a Power Four conference school is probably one reason he fell to number 27.
Very well, maybe. But you know what? I think he's going to do just fine.
Oh, yeah. He'll do just fine. I mean, we see guys like this coming out of smaller schools all the time. The shocker is how many of them now, because of the transfer portal, and we talked about it, college football, Power Four conference being the AAA equivalent. You know, the group of five or six next year is going to be the AA equivalent, and the rest is going to be kind of a single A equivalent. How much more of this are we going to see in the future where guys, if they're, you know, let's relate it to baseball. Chris Johnson's jump is going to be AA to the majors rather than AAA to the majors.
I agree with you 100%. It's going to be interesting to see where all this stuff lands, but we're in it to win it.
Yeah. The other one coming out is the Ty Simpson pick at number 13.
Yeah,
by the Rams.
That's interesting.
So a lot of guys are saying they reached. They probably could have waited. But again, this is a draft that after you got through the first group of guys, you know, talent-wise, became kind of a pick the guy that fills a need. Well, their quarterback, even though he's coming off an MVP season in Matthew Stafford, he's approaching 40 years old. So they're going to need a replacement sooner rather than later. They see this guy as being that, even though he had relatively limited reps for Alabama.
Well, you know, I remember him getting hurt in the Rose Bowl against Indiana, you know, earlier this year. So, I mean, how healthy is he? He must be pretty healthy because otherwise they wouldn't have picked him, or it's not that major. So, because I know he got drilled in the back. This guy can take a beating, and you know you don't want your quarterback taking a beating. But he did have talent. Alabama obviously had a subpar year this year, but you know we'll see what happens there.
Well, and that's the thing. He may be going into, out of all these draft picks, the most perfect scenario, where he is going to be able to go, he's going to play behind an MVP caliber player in Matthew Stafford on a Super Bowl contending team.
Agreed. You know, Hunter, we're going to have to get out to a break. We've rattled a little bit too long on the NFL draft. And so we're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this.
Back to the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, with Jeff and Hunter on 1430 KYKN.
And welcome back to the Sports Ticket on this phenomenal afternoon in the Mid-Willamette Valley. Gosh, gorgeous day. It's about stinking time, and I think next week's going to be even better. This is being brought to you by Domino's Pizza, Hunter. You've got a lot of kids, man. I mean, I think Domino's is calling your name right now.
Domino's is very useful in my household. Let's put it that way.
And I'm sure you order online and get 20% off your order.
You got to, because with that many mouths to feed, you got to get that 20%.
Thing. Yeah, 100%. All right. Appreciate their sponsorship for like ever. And good. So, hey, lots going on tomorrow, by the way.
With perfect weather.
Perfect weather. It's going to be about 70 degrees, and I'm actually going to be heading down to Autzen Stadium for the spring game. Mike Alger and I are going to be doing the tailgater show, and we're fortunate enough, at least for the time being, unless we hear something, you know, tonight, that Jerry Allen's going to be joining us for a couple of segments, and Jorgie might even stop by. So how cool is that?
That's going to be a ton of fun. How cool is that to have those guys? You know, these are voices of the Ducks.
And, you know, Jerry is so humble. It was hilarious because, you know, Mike Gallagher called him and was like, hey, man, can you join? But before he got there, he called him on a cell phone. And Jerry answers the phone. He goes, what do you want?
He just knows us. We always want something.
We always want. But you know what? They are so cordial. They're so... They just love our station, and that goes so well. The humility of Jerry and just the whole crew, how willing they are to work with us, is absolutely outstanding.
Well, and this is the experience that's way different than a regular season game. There is no Ducks pregame show for the spring game. So you are the pregame show.
We are the pregame show. You're absolutely right. So it's cool that Jerry has to go on the air. With I think Joey Mack is joining him, but we're gonna have Joey and Mike. Actually, they had a conversation earlier, and so you're gonna hear that next. But yeah, Joey, I think he's gonna be one of the voices. So I think all three of them are gonna be in tandem. This is gonna be a really good game to find out what kind of talent they've got, because they lost a lot of guys last year, or actually this year.
They lost two of them yesterday.
No, they sure did. Well, they were gone anyway. I mean, they were already. Well, I don't know. Was Sadiq? Was he a junior? Yeah, I believe he left early, didn't he?
Yeah, but he's also, they've declared for the NFL draft well in advance. So the Ducks knew. They weren't shocked that they're leaving as of yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, they were gone. So it's good. It's going to be a great day tomorrow. Plus, right after the spring game, if you wanted to stay down there, if you're going, I mean, they've got a baseball game going on at PK Park. And then if you'd rather watch softball, you can walk across the bridge and go watch the softball game at Jane Something Field or whatever called. So they got a lot going on over there tomorrow.
It's going to be a full day of action at the University of Oregon.
If you want parking, you better sneak and get there early.
So you better get there early.
I better get there early. And I will. I enjoy getting there early. That's fun. Mm-hmm. It is. Good time. So,
well, it's an atmosphere thing.
Yeah, so we'll be on the air
around the whole season and everything else to come. So.
I know. It's going to be great. We go on the air at noon to 1, and then the game actually kicks off at 1 o'clock. So that goes till 3, and then we're done, and then we head out.
That's a great way to spend a Saturday afternoon.
So much fun getting – I can't believe football's already starting, or at least – kind of faking it.
Yeah.
See what's
happening. Warm-up game.
That's right. All right. We're going to get out to a break. Sports Ticket right here on 1430 KYKN.
The Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, with Jeff and Hunter, continues on 1430 KYKN.
Returning to the Sports Ticket this Friday afternoon, the early edition in this segment brought to you by our friends down at Color Tile on Lancaster here in Salem. Well, we've got the big game tomorrow. Well, it's not that game, but it will be for the Oregon Ducks as they are coming in with their inter-squad scrimmage game, their annual spring game. And with us, one of the radio voices for the Ducks, it's Joey Mack. And Joey, you're going to be there. Jerry, Jorgie, the whole crew. And this is always seriously a fun time of year. It's maybe a who's who is going to be showing themselves. We already know that we've got a quarterback, but Joey, what do you think? What's tomorrow going to our Saturday going to be like?
Well, I mean, ultimately, guys, I think it is a fun time of year, and there's a lot of optimism that always happens around spring football, and that's fun, right? Like everybody wants to stay healthy. I think that's probably the most important thing when you talk about a spring football game, right? It's Ducks versus Ducks in a lot of ways, even though they divide the teams up into the Combat Ducks and the Fighting Ducks. That's what they're going to do this year. But it's ultimately still Oregon versus Oregon. And so you want to come out of it healthy. And I think it is an opportunity, though, for some greater evaluation. You know, every coach will always tell you that, you know, they want practice to be like the games, and that way the games don't feel as big. But the fact is that things do change when the lights go on, right? And when there's fans in the stands. And you want to try to create those pressures in practice, but the spring game gives a unique opportunity as one of the 15 practices that teams get during the spring period. It gives a unique opportunity to perform in front of fans. And certainly there's an added pressure to that. And I think we all know that, right? It's different to be giving a speech to your mirror than it is giving a speech in front of hundreds of people, right? I mean, that's just how things are with the added pressures when everyone's looking at you. So, you know, number one thing for me is definitely come out of the game healthy. And then number two, I think it's who does step up in some of those situations. And oftentimes it might not necessarily be the guy that makes the flashy catch like DeCorian Moore did last year, although if you can make the flashy catch and get on everybody's radar, prove why you were a five-star recruit, then great. But ultimately, too, it might be like guys in the trenches that just execute when there's noise at Autzen Stadium. You know, all those things matter, and that's what I'm looking for coming up when the Ducks play the Ducks at Autzen Stadium.
And then, of course, that's coming up tomorrow. We'll be there for that. You know, the entire defensive line, your front four is back. The linebackers have a lot of elite athletic traits. You've lost some very good players, and two or three may have already gone in the first or second round in the NFL draft by the time we're on the air here. We talk about filling in the gaps. One place you don't have to worry about is quarterback, but is this where we learn out who will maybe number two?
Well, potentially. I mean, I think that Dan Lanning would tell you that there's going to be a lot of competition in the fall. I mean, spring is kind of the beginning of the evaluation period, and to be totally honest with you, the offseason becomes really critical. You know, what kind of shape is a guy in when he goes through the strength conditioning program in May, June, July, and then gets back to practice around August? And I think that piece of the development period often gets overlooked because we all don't see it, right? There's not practices per se for all of us to go to. It's a lot of individual work. And so I think that you'll start to see some separation after this evaluation point with the spring game. But if you look at the depth of this team, I think there's going to be a lot of those battles continuing into the fall. And, you know, I even think back, like, one example who met with the media during this spring period is Nasir Wyatt. Nasir Wyatt was really good, like kind of jumped out to me at least during fall camp. And now he, at the end of the season, developed into a really third down pass rush type of player. Well, then this year he said, well, no, what I really want to work on is having both the physical and mental endurance to be an every down type of player. And you know, that's a guy who was highly touted, who jumped off the page a little bit in scrimmages. But sometimes in those scrimmages and in practices, you're just going to see younger guys perform because that's their opportunity to do so. Whereas the proven commodities, you know, we know what they can do. We know what the Tatum Tuiotis and the Mateo Uiagalelei can do for this team. So I just think Nasir Wyatt's a good example of kind of that development period that takes place. You know, he maybe needed a year to really become that every down type of player, and he's just one example of those guys that'll continue to develop throughout the fall. And then also we know, like, attrition is a thing in every sport, but particularly in football. You're going to have guys get banged up throughout the course of the season. you have to develop that depth, and guys need to be ready when their number's called, as they say.
But one of the areas that Dante Moore's not going to be too concerned about, but we're going to find out this Saturday and then beyond that, he's got some elite receivers to throw to, like Jeremiah McClellan, Stewart, DeCorian Moore, and if you have a transfer from down in Alabama, Iverson Hooks, and of course you got two good dynamic running backs. I mean, those are areas that aren't in question. I guess it's a matter of who's going to line up where.
Well, it's a deep room. Let's start with wide receiver, and I was just so happy to see Evan Stewart at the podium talking with the media with a smile on his face. You know, I've been able to see him around practice, and you know, even when he wasn't practicing, but he was around the team, like, you know, he's itching to get back, and it's just cool to see him out playing again. And he was pretty honest. He was like, look, this is kind of it for me. Like, I got to have a good year if I want to get drafted and keep playing football. And, you know, it's also, though, like, there's a life piece to this, too. Injuries suck. It's the worst part of sports, yeah. And it can derail a career. And, you know, hopefully it didn't fully derail his career. It ends up just being a bump for a guy like Evan Stewart. But Jeremiah McClellan stepped up a lot last year, partially in Evan Stewart's absence. DeCorian Moore, even when he was banged up, like, you knew what the Ducks had when he was on the field. And they have so many different options. And all three of those guys have talked about how they can play multiple positions. And I think that ultimately will be a great weapon for Oregon this year. And you couple that, if I could, with Jamari Johnson. Like, Jamari Johnson now into kind of a number one role at tight end with Kenyon Sadiq moving on in his professional career. Jamari Johnson is popping on a lot of scouts' boards, yes. If you will. Like, talking draft season, you know, Jamari Johnson's popping up there a lot. And versatility at the wide receiver position mixed with Jamari Johnson, certainly Dante Moore has a lot of weapons. And then to your point about the running backs, certainly there's some dynamic guys back with Davison and Hill. And you throw in a few transfers, and then also Dink Riggs decided to come back. And all that said, remember how deep that position group was last year, and how we all talked about how position coach Rashad Samples had to figure out a way to get all these dynamic guys on the field.
And who to start?
And then suddenly a linebacker in Braden Platt is playing running back during practices, getting ready for the Peach Bowl because the Ducks went through so many injuries. I mean, that's just what can happen sometimes. So you never know how much you need the depth until you need it.
It's almost becoming tight end you down there at University of Oregon. You got Ferguson playing down there for the Chargers. And, of course, you know, you got Sadiq going the first round, I'm sure, as we know. And then you've got this young man coming up after that. I think one of the few things they're probably going to have to worry more about this year is you've got two or three guys headed to the NFL that are from the offensive line. Is that maybe one of the bigger concerns?
Well, one, I think that the tight end spot, you're right. Oregon should get a lot of credit for developing tight ends. I even go back to, like, Johnny Munt. That's a guy who's had a really nice NFL career. And, you know, David Paulson was setting records left and right during the early part of the 2010s, if you will. I mean, there's been, I'm glad you said that. I think that it gets overlooked how good Oregon has been at developing tight ends. I mean, shoot, I can list them all. I mean, Pharaoh Brown, you keep going down the list, right? And I'm going to forget people as I keep going all the way back, maybe even to Ed Dixon and George Reister. Anyway, you're right. There's a lot of great tight ends that have come through here. To your point, though, on the offensive line, I do think that that's a question coming in. And, you know, I think that's where my eyes are going to go during the spring game is, hey, how does the line hold up? And how does the depth look on the line? Because the one key here is that Poncho Yipani Lalulu, he's back as the anchor in the middle. And then with Dante Moore back, you have that leadership tandem along the offense. And that's a big deal. You know, I liked how Poncho and Dante both talked this spring about how, things just go a little quicker for them now, right? Because they're always on the same page. They kind of know where each other are going. That experience, that chemistry is really, really valuable. They can move quicker, I think, offensively. But that said, you do have to still protect Dante Moore. And I'm looking for some depth on the offensive line. And Alik Terry, the position coach there, often talks about how, especially at this time of year, he's not looking to specialize in a position yet. He wants guys to play in different spots because we've seen it. I mean, there's been multiple examples here over the last few years, 10 years of all of football, right? Like, sometimes you're going to need to move a guy on the offensive line. Maybe he's naturally a tackle, but you need him to play guard. Or he's naturally a guard, you need him to play tackle. Or if Poncho gets hurt, who's going to snap the ball, right? Like, you have to have your best five. And sometimes the best five might mean that a guy's playing a little different position than he has in the past. So The other piece to it, too, that I really like on the offensive line, though, is the Ducks have a number of highly touted recruits that have been able to develop. And Alik Terry's talked about that. Like, you know, you think about the Fox Craters of this team, the Zaire Addisons. Like, there's guys that have developed a little bit that are now of that redshirt sophomore type of year. And, you know, we all get excited about the new freshmen that come in, but sometimes, particularly at that position, when you can develop, get stronger, settle into the system, that's really valuable. Like, oftentimes that redshirt sophomore that you know, was a 4- or 5-star recruit a couple years ago, they could really flash here after they develop a little bit.
He's Joey Mack, one of the voices of the Oregon Ducks here, getting ready for the big spring game coming up on Saturday. We'll be there with our pregame show at noon, and then, of course, at 11 to noon, and then, of course, from 12 to 1, they'll kick it off at 1 o'clock at Autzen Stadium. When you think about just one real quick thing, the 8 to 9 guys that are probably going to be picked up, if not signed to free agent contracts between now and Monday, that says a lot about Oregon. I wouldn't say they're going to produce them like Michigan or Oklahoma or Alabama, but we're putting a fair amount of Ducks in professional uniforms.
Well, I would say over the last few years, you can put them up against Michigan, Notre Dame, Alabama, Oklahoma, whoever. I mean, Oregon has consistently, under Coach Lanning, improved the number of guys that have been drafted, and I think that does continue throughout this weekend of the NFL draft. Oregon has demonstrated that they will develop players. I mean, Dylan Thienemann is a great example,
yeah.
Right? Like, Dylan Thienemann was one of the better guys in the Big Ten playing safety. He transfers to Oregon. Suddenly everyone is like, yep, that's an NFL player after 1 year at Oregon. Ducks developed him. He wanted to be developed. And Coy Parrish is kind of the next example of that. He's a great defensive back, transfers into Oregon. And he got asked, like, hey, did you look at what Dylan Thienemann did and what that meant to maybe your development? He was like, you know, I chose Oregon on my own right. But just reading how he said that, I thought, well, he definitely is a smart guy. He knows that Oregon can develop people like that. And I give Coach Lanning a lot of credit. I mean, the talent evaluation is one thing, and the acquisition is another. But then the development is the biggest key to a winning football program and ultimately guys that have long professional careers.
Joey, real quick, in less than a minute, big win on Wednesday. It's been a few days, but you still got to be feeling it when Oregon defeats No. 6 Oregon State up at Goss Stadium the other night. I'll tell you, it was a battle of the bullpens, but you come out of there with a 7-3 win, and you held off the Beavs from scoring in that 9th inning.
Well, and I can't remember the last time Oregon used 10 pitchers in a game, and that was kind of the intention with a critical series in conference play coming up. But, man, you're right. I mean, Oregon's had some success against the Beavs. The Ducks have won 7 of the last 8 against Oregon State on the baseball diamond. And in the Mark Wazikowski and Mitch Canham era, remember, those two head coaches for these programs started as head coaches the same year. Waz is now 13-12 against the Mitch Canham-led Beavers.
Wow.
Been a really competitive series. I mean, that's what the rivalry is supposed to all be about. And the Ducks have won 7 of the last 8. They're trending in the right direction and now have won one more game than the Beavers in the Waz and Canham eras, respectively. So it was something. I mean, you see 10 pitchers be able to do that and keep the Beavers in check. That's big time. And then Oregon took advantage of some Oregon State miscues. That's what good teams do, right? They don't make mistakes. Beavers committed 3 errors. Ducks committed 0. Oregon wins the game. I mean, that's baseball sometimes. And
Oregon football spring game kicking off 1 o'clock here on Saturday. We'll have us at 12 noon, and then we'll be kicking off with Jerry Jorge and, of course, this guy right here. We want to say thank you very much, Joey Mack, for chatting with us today on KYKN. Excited to see you tomorrow, and just thanks for coming aboard.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. Good to talk to you.
Joey Mack, one of the voices of the Ducks here on the Sports Ticket here on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.
Back to the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, with Jeff and Hunter on 1430 KYKN.
And welcome back to the Sports Ticket. Appreciate Mike interviewing Joey there. Joey's always so much fun. He's got a ton to say, and he's got a wealth of Duck knowledge.
It is so fun listening to these interviews, and because you can tell with Joey how excited he gets about what's coming up.
He's a pure Duck.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he went there. He's been in broadcasting there for, gosh, I don't even know how many years now, but it's not all he does. I mean, he's in charge of all the affiliations, of getting new affiliates, and because you're going to lose some affiliates here and there. And so he's got tons on his plate, plus doing the Duck Insider. The dude's amazing.
Well, I think if you prick his finger, it's going to bleed green.
Well, both him and Jerry, for crying out loud. I mean, Jerry cries whenever he starts talking about the Ducks now. Oh, gosh. So,
let's jump over it. Trailblazers are in the playoffs.
They are. But before we do that, this segment's being brought to you by Bowenvine Burger Bar right down there on Commercial.
That's right. Okay, can't forget that. Okay, we got the important
stuff.
Can't
get ahead
of
ourselves.
Yeah, bills are paid. All right. Blazers, they are our local team. They are in the playoffs. They are facing the San Antonio Spurs. So a lot of talk coming into this thing. I think the Blazers are a 7 seed. Spurs are a 2 seed. Wembley, the kind of huge, tall center.
7-2.
Yeah, for the Spurs, didn't play against the Blazers in the two or three regular season matchups the teams played each other. So they came out in game one. Wembley kind of dominated, and the Spurs took game one in San Antonio.
But the Blazers still played really, really well. They only lost by, 11 mm-hmm. or 12?
So game two, Wembley, I think it was only about 6 minutes into the game, and he already had double-digit points at that point, and they got a 12-point lead or something. He went down, landed on his face on a hard fall. Looks like he just kind of lost his footing and went face-first into the floor, ended up with a concussion. So the Blazers were able to come back in game two, take the win. So now they're tied 1-1, coming back to Portland. Game tonight at 7:30. A lot of people are excited about it. But it looks like they'll be without Wembley, even though he did travel with the team to Portland.
Well, we'll see about that. I bet he comes in. If the Blazers, get on a run, I can almost guarantee you he's coming in the game.
Mm-hmm. So they're coming out. They're going to be coming out with updates on this thing. I don't know if he will be allowed to simply because of the NBA concussion protocol.
Maybe
he might miss this game, but I'm expecting they're thinking he'll be playing at least in Sunday night's game.
So what is that protocol?
It's of course removal from the game.
Well, of
immediately.
Course, yeah.
And then I think it is a couple of days process, and constant monitoring and testing and things like
that. Okay, so I think it just comes down to a test.
Oh yeah, it's going to come down to a test.
So give me a break.
Yeah,
I mean, what doctor's on? Who's on the take? I don't care. We've got refs. Whatever. We're not even going to go down that road, but we all know that it happens.
Yeah.
DraftKings is involved.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. Who knows? Who knows, where the real, player safety win a game?
Who lost money on that one?
I know a lot of people that predicted this was going to be a 4-1 series for the Spurs. They're going to take 4 games to the one.
Oh, well, there you have it.
But I could see the Blazers winning tonight at home, especially if he's limited. At the very least, he's going to be limited in his minutes. So let's give the Blazers that their dues, because they've been playing well and they've been playing kind of a hot streak. I mean, they had to play to win, get into this series. So reality is they probably got a decent shot of winning tonight's game and going from there.
Yeah. The 3-point percentage is going to be key.
Mm-hmm.
If they can knock down threes and get on a roll, then you're absolutely right. They can take this game, but Wembley, if he doesn't play, I think you're right. I think the Blazers do take this one in Portland, and so, but if he does come in, I think that's going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, and he's going to be the big problem for the Blazers, and they're going to do. They've got room to give, and that's the other part of it. The Spurs have room to play with. They still have home court advantage. With one win in Portland, and I just kind of go, I can see them kind of holding him out this game for safety precautions, have him good to go full power by Sunday.
It's interesting. So this is a 7-game series.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because didn't they used to have 5-game series, or am I just thinking
of
Major League Baseball?
That's baseball.
It gets so confusing.
That's right. Well,
why can't they just be consistent?
Yeah, because it's pro sports.
Everything's got to be different, and
everyone's got to have their own flair.
Okay, so how much do you want to bet that there's going to be a fight tonight in one of these games?
Across the whole NBA playoff? Yeah,
that's correct.
Yeah, I would say that I'm going on to Corsi or whatever it is and go ahead and put my money on that.
Yeah, that's right. $100. Put it on. There's going to be a fight tonight.
That's the way it is nowadays. All right. We better get out to a break, Jeff. We got Mariners coming up
sooner
rather than later.
Yeah. Sports Ticket right here on 1430 KYKN.
The Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor with Jeff and Hunter, continues on 1430 KYKN.
And welcome back to the Sports Ticket. This segment is being brought to you by, well, we're going to say Asphalt Armor, even though they're a main sponsor. We appreciate them coming back on and supporting KYKN and our live Sports Ticket show.
All right. We got Mariners coming up at 4 o'clock for the pregame show. 5:15 first pitch today. The Mariners are on the road playing against the St. Louis Cardinals this evening.
Yeah, and you know, they just had a storm blow through there. I was almost wondering if they were under like tornado watch, because this thing was a beast. You know how they get those things in the Midwest? I mean, they just start rolling up from Texas, and it looks like they got lucky.
Yeah.
And it passed right on by, the arch.
That's always good news. Don't ever want those bad weather things, because they, you know, delay the game, which for programming sake creates.
Yeah, we can't have that. So Mariners, you know, we talked about, they're 1-8 on the road. I mean, which is abysmal.
Yeah.
They've got the worst road record in the majors right now, and they better change their ways, because otherwise, I mean, you got the Cardinals, and then who do you have? Minnesota on the road. So you got a 6-game series on the road right now, and you've got to make something happen. What are you? Are they 11-15? Is that what our record is?
11-15. The Cardinals coming into this game 14-10. They are giving the matchup predictor to the Mariners with a slight edge.
Who's starting tonight?
Kirby starting for the Mariners. Okay. Palante is starting for the Cardinals.
You know, I think this is going to be a pretty good matchup. But the good news for the Mariners, I mean, Cal Raleigh is homered in 3 straight games. And so he's starting to get rolling now. So they've got to have this guy's bat.
Yeah.
And everybody else, you know, Arozarena, and you've got Raleigh, and you've also got Donovan. Mm-hmm. Although Donovan, I think he was out. He was injured.
Yeah,
something happened.
Yeah, put on the 10-day injured list. But it is good to see that Cal is coming around with his 5 home runs this season. Arozarena is got his batting average up to .290, because these are a couple guys that started really slow this year.
They did, and I think we talked about that in I think last week's show, that you know you start in that league. What was that?
The World Baseball
Classic.
Yeah,
Baseball Classic. I mean, what the heck are they doing? I don't know. They're adding more things to get these players more tired, and they're going to get injured, and just stop.
Yeah, it kind of sucks, because Donovan was a former Cardinal, so it'd be fun to see him play, but he won't be playing this series. But go Mariners, we better get ready. We got to turn it over to them. They need a pregame show, and enjoy the game tonight.
Absolutely. Rick Riz, take it away. Sports Ticket right here on 1430 KYKN. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
This has been the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, presented by Asphalt Armor, with Jeff and Hunter every Friday at 5 p.m. on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.